Okay, Shalom Rabbosei. Today's daf is Shabbos, daf, kuf, yud, aleph. We are finishing the 14th parak in the second Shabbos and starting the 15th. But before we get there, we still have some more refuah issues to deal with. So we are on the bottom of kuf, yud, and beis. We are at the two dots. And we're talking about the yarkona for jaundice. So what do you do for jaundice? So train b'shichra u'me'aker. We mentioned yesterday that one of the things you can do for a zava is you can make this whole potion mixed with three different ingredients, which was sap from Alexandria, alum, and saffron. So here, if you take two of them, train, if you take two of those ingredients and b'shichra and mix it with beer, u'me'aker, so you drink that. We had also mentioned this as well, I believe, on Amud Aleph. Right, of course. We've mentioned this on Amud Aleph. So that will heal jaundice, but it will also have the side effect of making a person impotent. Right? Me'aker. The Gemara says, one second, Mishari, is that really mutter? You're allowed to make someone impotent. How do you know that you're not allowed to make someone impotent? Tam alone, the Pasuk says, you can't do this in your land. That pasuk is talking about neutering animals, making animals unable to have children. The pasuk says, really, it's talking about a korban, that any animal that has some issue with its private area, if it's ma'uch, if it's kasus, if it's nasuch, and it's charus, either one, different types of injuries, so they cannot be a korban, and the pasuk says, "Uvar tzechem lo sasu." You can't do that. You can't even forget offering it as a korban. You can't even do it. You shouldn't even do it in Eretz Yisrael and throughout the world as well. It's not only a halacha that applies to Eretz Yisrael, but either way, so uvar tzechem lo sasu. The Gemara darshens out, "Bachem lo sasu." It should not be done. Bachem also, bar tzechem bachem as well. You should not do it to yourself. Divrei Rabbi Chanina. So you see that you're not allowed to make yourself impotent. So the Gemara says, right, so how could you take this medicine that will make a person impotent? So the Gemara says, no, that's only if you intended to make yourself impotent and damage any of the reproductive situation. But over here, when you take this medicine, that's me'atzmahu, it happens on its own almost, right, indirectly. So the Gemara says, one second, what are you talking about? I guess not yet, but in a second. It'll do that. First of all, we try and prove that. Someone who wants to make sure that a tarnagol cannot reproduce, she should take the crown of the rooster. It's called something else, I forget. But the crown of the rooster, cut it off. And it becomes impotent on its own. It's unable to have kids. Now the Gemara asks, one second, Ramar Ashi, but what are you talking about? Ramas Rukuhu didn't Nikita Lay. No, that's only because the crown of the chicken, of the rooster, makes it gives it enough gaiva that it's able to reproduce. Once it's gone, so it kind of like gets depressed almost. Fascinating. But you're not actually harming its reproductive organs, you're just making it so that it won't want to. So the Gemara says, Ella, rather, so it must be a case where you're talking about someone who's already besaris. Then if you're going to heal jaundice with this potion that's going to make someone impotent, it must be someone who's already impotent. So the Gemara says, Right. So Vamar, again, when I say impotent, I mean there's some sort of injury and some sort of, perhaps damage to the reproductive organs. The Gemara says, "V'amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba Mar Yochanan, Hakol Modim b'Mechametz Achar Mechametz." Everyone is moda that if you make something chametz, well, we'll see what that something is. I'll explain it in a second. If you make it chametz after it's already been made chametz, shu chayiv. What is that? Right? Isn't chametz chametz chametz? So the din is that a korban mincha is one of the korbanos that they would bring. The korban is brought from flour. Either straight up flour or they would bake it. But they wouldn't make it chametz. It had to be matzah. And to the point where you're not allowed to make it chametz. It's also make it chametz. So, but again, how would you make it chametz? If you did one chametz making process and then put the flour through another chametz making process, So you would be chayiv, even the second guy would be chayiv, even if it's already kind of chametz already. One second, sorry, I just find that. Right. As the Gemara learns it from Pesukim, right? Not that, you know, obviously on Pesach, this is not Shach Pesach, if it's chametz already, it's chametz already. And there's also no Isser to make chametz on Pesach. And obviously, if you can't own chametz on Pesach, but technically, you know, if you accidentally or whatever, even intentionally, but it wasn't yours, perhaps there might be no Isser. But here, by the Korban Mincha, the Pasuk says, right, the Shnei Amar, the Pasuk says, lo se'afra chametz, don't bake it into chametz, lo se'asra chametz, don't make it into chametz. So apparently you see that, you know, both of those, if you do it twice, you're chayav twice. So the Gemara extends that to b'misaris achar misaris shu chayav. That's also the same din. If a person makes someone impotent after he's already impotent, shenemar, as the pasuk says, uma'uch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus. Those translate as squeezed, crushed, cut off, or cut, or damaged with a cut. So the Gemara says, in karus chayiv, if you're chayiv, if the male aver is cut, so al nasuch, if it's already, you know, you cut it off, lo kol shekein, for sure you're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says, el alavi nosek achar koris, that if you cut it once, and then you chop it off, rachmana litzlan, after that, so you're chayiv twice. So apparently you see that making someone impotent, or doing some sort of castration, after castration, is chayiv. So you can't tell me that you can make someone impotent after he's already impotent. You can't make someone sterile and not able to have kids after he's already a saris. So Gemara says, el bezakin. Rather, it must be a zakin. Meaning a zakin is not that, what's it called? By a zakin who's not able to have kids anymore, that's not considered a saris. And it's not that he's not able to have kids anymore, so that's not considered a saris. And therefore, when you do it, you're not really doing anything. Meaning, if you're injuring him, fine, in a chenami. But if he's drinking and having this medicine, and that'll also make him impotent, in the message, right? 78 year old guy, he's not going to have kids anymore. So that is already mutter. So, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, any nechzarani le nerosai, but. Rabbi Yochanan said that it's Gemara in. Should I actually say where it is? There's a story about Rabbi Yochanan, right? In Gittin, in Perek Misha, Achzu. And Rabbi Yochanan reverted himself back to in the days of when he was young, right? Because already the Narusai became a Nar. Rashi writes how Rufus Hamurus Sham is these types of healing things, or these healing potions or whatever. Sam lamisha inu bari b'tashmish. It makes a person able to have tashmish again. Rabbi Yochanan lashish zakanti. Rabbi Yochanan said, after I got old, tzarani losun refu was an erosai l'tashmish. I was able to have bia once again. Right. So apparently, you see that a zakein is able to revert back to a scenario where he's able to have kids again. So how could you make him impotent? Right. So that would be affecting. That was making him a saris. So Gemara says you're right. Ella rather beisha. And this is a big chiddush, and Tosus says there is no iser. Right, this is a Tosus, Rashi says. Where is that Tosus? I thought it was Tosus. But either way, the mice of the implication, as you, I'm sure you figured out, is that there is no iser to be misaris a woman, according to that understanding. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Amar, but what about Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? Amar al shnehu nemar, vayivarach usam alokim, vayomer lahem alokim pru revu. Wait, one second. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that there's a mitzvah for a man to have kids, and there's also a mitzvah for a woman. We usually paskin that a man has a mitzvah for a woman, not a woman. Maybe a woman has a mitzvah to be a misayeya, to help out, or maybe she has the mitzvah of, I'm blanking on the phrase. Terrible. I want to say shvus, but that's a din in Hilchas Shabbos. Ay vey. Anyway, there's a din also that to populate the world that's also a mitzvah, perhaps, and the woman perhaps could be chayav in that. Ay vey. Terrible. I forgot the phrase. Okay, either way. L'maisa kana Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, so a woman is also chayav in Pururuvu. You see from here that the Isser of Saris stems from the mitzvah of Pururuvu. that to make someone impotent, right, is almost like annulling their ability to be a kind of mitzvah. So, Ma'ikel Amimar, what are you going to say if you tell me that it's mutter to be a mesaris? A woman, what? According to Biochan Benoker, says she's chayav in pur ravu. How could you do that? So, the Gemara says, rather, it must be a case of bizakena, where the woman is old, and again, there may be some sort of refuah to get a man back to his younger days, so he can have bia again, but an old woman is not going to be able to have kids unless there's some sort of nace. So that is off the docket, so therefore you're not actually being misarius, anybody who can have kids. You know, when you're in other cases, but akara, where a woman who is an akara, rachma letzlan, cannot have kids on her own, you know, and therefore that is what it is, mutter. Okay. Fine. Says the new Mishnah. Hachoshesh b'shina, someone who has a toothache. Lo yigala behemes hachometz, a person should not swallow vinegar, because apparently it's clear that he's doing it for refuah. Ava matabal hu kadarko, we can dip his food into vinegar, like people normally do, then nisrape, and if it happens to be that he gets cured on that way, so then nisrape, then he is cured. Hachoshesh b'masna, let's say someone has a pain in his, let's say, his groin. Lo yasoch yayin b'chometz, you should not smear with wine or vinegar. Again, we mentioned before that was some sort of anti-inflammatory. Avasahu is a shaman, but he can use oil. Below shaman avere, but not rose oil, which apparently was fancy oil. Because it was obviously too expensive. Vinei malachim, though, but princes, and I assume princesses, but princes, Sake and Shemin Veridama and Makoseyam, they can put this rose oil on any injury, Shekin Darkan Lasuk Bachol, because they usually will put that stuff on themselves during the weekday. Again, the whole idea is we don't want it to look like refuah. So if that's a normal thing for the princes to rub it on their bodies in general, so if you rub it on Shabbos, obviously it has to be liquid enough, it's not Mamachik, it's not any Memarech, it's not going to be any issues, not Mamachik, Memarech. It's not going to be any issues of other halachas from Shabbos, but let's say it's liquidy enough that you can smell on your body. So if the princes usually do that during the week, so then it doesn't look like refuah. You can't necessarily tell that they're trying to heal something and that it is mutter on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim hein. That all of Am Yisrael are princes, and any Jew are allowed to put this rose oil on a wound or an injury on Shabbos. Okay, says the Hilkei Gemara. Rami le Rav Acha Aricha, dehu Rav Acha Bar Papa le Rabbi Avo. Rav Acha Aricha, interesting, the tall one. Rav Acha, the tall one, who is actually Rav Acha Bar Papa. He said to Rabbi Avo, check out the following steer. It's not within the Mishnah. Hachomet to our Mishnah. Hachoshish Mishinah. If you have a toothache, will you gamma behemoth hachomet? You can't swallow vinegar. Lamemra the chometz mala di shenayim. Apparently, chometz vinegar will help teeth. Right, it makes teeth feel better. But doesn't the pasuk says kachometz l'shinayim kashanayinayim? Vinegar on the teeth is like smoke in a person's eyes. Right, so apparently, it's not good. So lokasha, this is not a problem. How about the kiv d'yipri? That's if you when it's bad. That's if it's kiyuti d'yipri. What's it called? The Rashi says yain shalom is bashal kol tzorko da'anava of kasha l'shinayim. If you have wine that was not ripe enough. And then, meaning wine that was taken from grapes that were not ripe, and then it turned into vinegar, so then that is going to be no good for the teeth. But hachala, again, hachala with an aleph, we said it was vinegar, regular straight up hachala, that is going to be fine. That's our Mishnah. These boys, Hema, or another answer, hava v'chala, both of them are regular good vinegar. And when the Mishnah says is whether there is some sort of injury, one sort of wound, but when the pasuk says it's bad for the teeth, there is no injury, there's no wound. Ika maka masi, because if there is a wound, then it'll heal it. Ileka maka merape, and if there's no wound, so then it'll make it softer, meaning the teeth will be loosened and they may be threatened, they may end up falling out. Okay. Lo yigama behem as a chometz, a person shouldn't swallow vinegar. Vatayin, they went on the brisa, lo yigama upolate, that you're not allowed to drink it and, I guess, gargle it and then spit it out, because that's, again, we're concerned that it's going to look like refuah, so that's already a refuah at the gazach. Aval megamo bolea, but to just drink vinegar, maybe you're just drinking vinegar. Or, I guess, not in large quantities, but maybe you're just drinking vinegar. So, rabbi, kitan masnitsin, megamo poletanan. When... when the Mishnah, when he talks about the Mishnah, just change the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah also is talking about enochinami, that you're gargling the vinegar and spitting it out, but if you swallow, so then that is mutter. Rava, Amar Rava says, afilu tenu megama bole. You could even say that the case is when the Mishnah, that the Mishnah that said it's also for you to do this with vinegar, so it's even if you swallow it. Kan lefnei tibul, kan la'achar tibul. But no, here, when it's mutter, so that is before the meal. But when it's aser is when it's after the meal. Again, it was normal for them to dip stuff and drink and eat and whatever vinegar before a meal. But after a meal is over, so you're not going to have any bread with vinegar or etc. So that's when it would be mutter. Because that's when it would be aser, because again, it looks like refuah. It doesn't look like you're eating. The name of it, lefnei tibul shari, but let it just say, right? Meaning v'nema, why does he say to the lefnei tibul shari? From the fact that you dip, meaning before the meal it's mutter, to the achal tibul namo shari. So after the meal it's also going to be mutter. The shemini le rava de slay hoel, because rava holds of this idea of hoel, of sins. What is that? Tama rava says lek amidi de b'shabes shari uviyom kippur aser. There's nothing, and we'll explain this in a second. There's nothing that is mutter on Shabbos that is usher on Yom Kippur. Hoil, since the B'Shabbos Shari, Yom Kippurim, Nami Shari. Since it's mutter on Shabbos, it's also mutter on Yom Kippur. So you see a concept that if is mutter in one area of halacha, or in one scenario, it's also mutter in another scenario. So why don't we say that since it's mutter to do this with the vinegar, with the swallowing before the meal, it should also be mutter to do it after the meal. Now, what's going on with Shabbos Yom Kippur? So it's a Mishnah in Beitza. The Mishnah in Beitza says that if a person needs to go to the mikvah, let's say a nida needs to go to the mikvah, so it's mutter for to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. Because the Gemara over there, Rava, it says that it's because if you looked at a person going into, let's say, a lake on Shabbos, you wouldn't necessarily know that they're doing it for mikvah purposes, right? Again, it might be an issue of tikkun, right, to fix a halachic status on Shabbos. Right, we've mentioned that separating maestros from tevel on Shabbos is usher, because it fixes the halachic status of the food. So too, it could be that there might be a derabanan of metakein for, let's say, fixing, let's say, again, the example of a woman who's a nida, now she's mutter to her husband, so she's no longer tame, she no longer has the status of a nida. So you might have thought that it was usher, but it is mutter. The Mishnah says that it's mutter to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. So that is only mutter on Shabbos. But on Yom Kippur, obviously, when you're not allowed to wash yourself, that's one of the five inuyim, so it should be usher. So that's what Rava said, this whole concept of sins, of hoil. That since it's mutter on Shabbos, it's also going to be mutter on Yom Kippur, even though the logic that doesn't necessarily make sense, because you're not technically are not allowed to wash yourself. Now, it's not, we don't do that nowadays. We don't actually do that. But that was Rava's concept. So if it's mutter in one case, maybe it should be mutter in another case, and that's the same thing by the vinegar. So Gemara says, you're right. Hadar bay Rava mehach. So Rava, again, after he said this whole halacha of hoil, so he took back the way he was metaritz the Braisa and the Mishnah, and he answered simply like Abaye, that the Mishnah is a case where when the Mishnah says Osir, that's when you're spitting it out. But when you're swallowing it, that is mutter. But he took back this whole before and after the meal situation. So he says, I remind you, the mehach hader bay. How do you know that that's what he took back? Dilma meahi hader bay. Maybe he took back this whole concept of hogel. Right, how do you know? So how do you know what he is ma'adir from? So with all sagadaitach, the Gemara says, don't think that the time because when the Braisa call chayve tefilas told them kedarkon, anybody needs to go to the mikvah. Let's say, for example, a woman again who's an ida, so they can go normally. Bein b'tishavav, maybe Yom Kippur, and whether it's on tishavav or Yom Kippur, and obviously that's the whole point that Yom Kippur is mutter. So it can't be that he took back this whole little thing, because that's the whole reason why it would be mutter to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. Okay, fine. Vayit. Mishnah said, "Achoshesh b'masnav," someone who has pain in his groin. So again, we talked about you shouldn't put oil or vinegar because those, even though those are anti-inflammatories, no one does that. So that's going to be clear that you're doing it for refuah, but you can put oil there. And then we had this whole discussion about rose oil. All right, and the princes, whether the princes can do it, and Rabbi Shimon said all of Am Yisrael can do it. So it says the Gehenna Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Marav, Alach Rabbi Shimon, Alach Zak Rabbi Shimon, that anybody can use this rose oil. The member of the Rabbi Shimon, Israelite, you tell me that Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon. What are you talking about? Rabbi Shimon, again, as we mentioned a bunch of times, Mavashen Tzigol Gufa, the Rabbi Shimon Miskavin, but Rav really holds like Rabbi Shimon here. He's Mekil, Ramar, Rabbi Shimon, Baruchia, Mishmei the Rav, Hai, Mishichoraya, Denizaiso. If anybody has ever learned Ksubis, so at the beginning of the Sakta, we talk about Mishichoraya, Denizaiso. They used to use cloth to stop up a barrel. So the din is that Asr Ladoka, Biyom Batava, it's Asr to push this cloth stopper into a barrel on Yodif and definitely Shabbos, you're going to end up, Rashi says, because of Schita. You're going to inevitably, right, if you have a barrel of liquid, so you have a cloth stopper, so it's inevitably going to absorb liquid. So when you push it into the barrel even further, so that's going to squeeze out some of the liquid. That's going to be Schita, even though, as Rashi says, Afal, but just read the top Rashi and on the base. Even though you don't have intention to squeeze it out, right? It's still going to be awesome. So you see that Rav, right? What does Rabbi Shimon hold? But Rabbi Shimon is kavin. Rabbi Shimon holds, as we mentioned, Rabbi Shimon is kavin is mutter. So apparently, Rav does not hold like Rabbi Shimon. Right? Apparently, lo svir lay, but Rabbi Shimon is kavin. If you tell me that, it's going to be awesome. It's like Gemara says, "Vahi afilu Rabbi Shimon." No, because there, Rabbi Shimon would agree in that case. Right? What is the case where Rabbi Shimon would agree that Rabbi Shimon is kavin is awesome? Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's usher if it's a psikresha, if it's inevitably, if it's definitely going to happen. Rabbi Shimon is going to be moda, that you can't call that unintentional. If you know when you push that cloth into the barrel, it's going to squeeze out some liquid, it's a tight hole, you're pushing it in, you're squeezing out liquid, it's definitely going to happen. So Rabbi Shimon would be masking that it is usher, so therefore Rav can hold like Rabbi Shimon elsewhere, because over there Rabbi Shimon would be masking that it is Osir. When the Gemara says, one second, Rav still doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabbi Chiyom, Rav Ashi, Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda by Rav Shimon's Kavin. It's Osir. Rachanim bar Ami, Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel is the one who says, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Chiyom bar Avin, Masnah le'Bolo Gavri, and Rabbi Chiyom bar Avin taught it straight up without anybody else. Rav Amar Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So that's, I should have brought that 5 seconds ago, right? That's a clear proof that Rav doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. So why is Rav holding like Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah? So Alam Rava, Rava says, Aniva Arishim Chabura Targima, I and the lion in our Chevre interpreted as follows. Umbanu, and who's that? That lion, Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin. So he said that Halach Rabbi Shimon Falav Metaima. That Rav said the Halach is like Rabbi Shimon, that everybody's allowed to use this oil. This rose oil, but his reason is not the right reason. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My halakha Rabbi Shimon l'vatame. So if you eat lema, if you're going to tell me that halakha Rabbi Shimon is shari, that halakha is like Rabbi Shimon, that's mutter, falav mitame, but it's not the reason. Really, the reason that's mutter is kedil ke Rabbi Shimon sober masi, v'rav sober lo masi. Because Rabbi Shimon holds that it heals, right? That oil will heal you. Rav holds that it doesn't do anything. But that does, you can't tell the meaning of that, and therefore that's why it's mutter, according to Rav, because it's not actually a refuah. Right? But Rabbi Shimon holds it's mutter because Rabbi Shimon is kavin. Because, one second, Rabbi Shimon is kavin. Oh, no, because Am Yisrael are all princes. But Rav holds it's mutter simply because it just doesn't do anything. So we serve Rav Lomasi, but Rav doesn't hold like that. He doesn't really hold that it doesn't heal, he holds that it heals. From the Katani, from when the Mishnah says, "B'nei Malachim Sakin Agave Makoseim Shem Vered," when you tell me that the princes will put this oil on their injuries, we call it Masi, right? Apparently, it does have some sort of healing properties. Ella, it must be that when we said the Halacha Rabbi Shimon V'lav Metayne, that the following: the Halacha Rabbi Shimon the Shari, it's mutter, like Rabbi Shimon said, but V'lav Metayne the Ilu Rabbi Shimon Sever Afagav Delo Shchiach Shari. That Rabbi Shimon holds that even though it's not common to find this rose oil, So it's still going to be mutter. Yeah, because even though it, you can heal you, but right, everybody is b'nei malachim, and therefore you can use it. Rav Savar, Rav holds, no, ish shchiach, yes, if it's commonly found in the neighborhood, then it's mutter, because everybody uses it, so it doesn't necessarily look like a fool. B'li lo shchiach, but if it's not common for people to use it, then lo, then it's not allowed to be used. V'aser d'rav shchiach, mishcha d'varda. In Rav's neighborhood, certainly it was common to find this oil, and therefore Rav holds that it's mutter. He holds actually like the Tana Kama, the Tana Kama would be maskim in a case where everybody in town used it because it was commonly found, so then it wouldn't necessarily look like refuah, and therefore it would be mutter. Okay, Hadra Lakshma Shrotzim, and now we get onto the Malacha of Kosher. Kosher is tying, Matir in this context is going to be untying, not making something mutter, but untying. And let's dive right in. We'll go up into the Mishnah here. We'll do a little bit of Mishnah Gemara. These are the knots which you're chayav for. And the Mishnah is going to delineate a couple of examples. And really the principle is, let's just see. Kesher ha-gemalim, the kesher ha-sefanim. Like a camel knot and a boat knot. Okay, and well, Gemara is going to explain exactly what that is. Just like you're chayev for tying them, you're also chayev for matir, for untying them. Right? Obviously not the same action. Rabbi Meir says, "Kol kasher shu yachal matiru ba'achas miyadav, any knot that you can untie with one hand, ain chayavin alav, you're not chayev for it." So you see, perhaps again, I don't want to pass it, not, we shouldn't say anything lahalacha, but again, what the Mishnah is bringing out is that when you're talking about a kesher that's going to be usher and Shabbos, there are two aspects. One of them is maisa uman, is that a master, that we'll see, a camel driver, a sailor, the people who tie these complex knots, and also a concept called the kesher shel kayama, that the knot that you're tying has to last. If you can untie it with one hand, so then it is obviously not something that is very professional and not necessarily going to last. We'll see. Again, that's going to be the underlying concepts throughout a lot of this parak. But let's just read the Gemara and you'll see for yourself. My kesher gemalim, kesher is fine. What do you mean when a camel knot and a boat knot? Ilei me kitcher the kitcher b'zamama. If you're telling me if the knot that goes through the nose or the nose ring or the camel, if you ever go down to towards the Dead Sea, they have camel rides. Camels all have nose rings and knots and ropes. You have to pull them. It's not, you don't throw a lasso over a camel. You can't control it like that. Either way, so if you're telling me it's the knot that's, the leash to the nose ring, so the kitchen, the kachi, the isterida, and you're talking about the knot in the ship's ring, right? The stem of a ship at the front has some sort of ring, so you can tie either the anchor or tie ropes to shore or whatever it is. So I kesher shein kayamahu. That's a kesher that is not permanent because you're going to tie it and untie it, right? Depending on where you're parking said boat or camel. Ela kesher d'zamama gufa. Rather, the Mishnah is talking about the actual knot of the nose ring itself. The issue of the gufa and the knot that is in the ship's ring itself. Meaning that's already something that's permanent to tie the knot or to tie the nose ring to the actual item. So that is going to be, that's what we're talking about. And again, you see the concept that it needs to be a kesher shel kayama for it to last. Rabbi Meir says, again, the Mishnah said, anything that you can untie with one hand is going to be, you're not going to be chayav for it. Boy rav ach nevoy ach. Achoy de Mar Acha, Racho Ach Devoy, the brother of Mar Acha, asks the following question. What about Aniva? Nowadays, an Aniva in Hebrew, in the common dictum, is a tie. But here means a knot that looks like a bow. Right? Like a bow tie. Not a bow tie. Like a bow that we would tie a shoe with. Right? That you tie a shoe with. So what's that did? Rabbi Meir, what's that did? Time of Rabbi Meir is Rabbi Meir's reason. Mishum de Yachal Atiru Ba'achas Miyadav. You're able to untie with one of your hands. Right, and therefore Vahanami Yachal Atiru. So too here, right? If you pull on the right string, so you can untie a bow in a second. Right? You won't be chayav. Odilmar maybe time of the Rabbi Meir, the reason for Rabbi Meir is Mishum Dama Mehadak, because a knot that you can get out with one hand is not tight. But as you know, if you tie your shoe, so usually if you have good shoelaces, it'll stay all day. Right? You can tie something in a bow, and that's going to be Mehadak, that's going to be tight. And maybe you'd be chayim. So Gemara says, take your Tishbi Taritz Kushas Rehabayah, so the Rabbi will explain for us when he comes. Okay, Shkor Chavosav, go by there, and the Hele Bishas. Tomorrow on Erev Shabbos. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.